Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
Happy Monday, ladies! How is everyone doing? Well, this weekend, I've had a couple of calls from, you know, friends of mine that are going through, you know, anxieties and a little bit of depression here and there, which is very normal because, you know, we have, you know, year 2020 has been a different year for all of us, being locked down and quarantined and all the virus going around, you know, our surroundings. It's just not, you know, it's not fun and not being in a, you know, we're not being our real self. You know, everything is closed. Now we are on our second phase closing, right? Everyone, I think, all around the world, but not all, you know, not Philippines and Philippines again. I mean, and there's many people who are hurting there financially and so it's just really, really heartbreaking. So for all of you who are tuning in again, and you might be wondering, like, who is this girl literally like talking and having a show, a podcast show, who's, you know, English is her second language. Sometimes, you know, I know that people don't really understand me, but I hope you will tune in because, you know, I did this show with my producer, Max. Max, hello.
Hi, Jess.
Hi. So we did this show because I feel like it was my calling to do this. It is not my career. Trust me, it's not my career. I'm not here doing this to be famous or to be somebody else. I have a different career. I have our e-commerce, right, Max? Our Polished Woman e-commerce is going to be happening.
You have so much going on. You have the whole world going on right now.
Yeah, but this one, the Polished Woman podcast show on LA Talk Radio, this is my calling. This is what I love doing. I think my passion, you know, I think the trials that happened in my life, it all happened. It all came into my life. It was, you know, it was hard. It was painful. Yeah, no experience is ever wasted. But I'm using this to be able to help you women, ladies, and guide you, you know, through our show, The Polished Woman. And remember that I'm also learning from our show, from all these women. Yeah, it's a work in progress. I'm learning from you, from the women who are on the show. I feel like, you know, today I was praying this morning and this dawned into me. That's why I have to say it. Just like in any marriage or relationship or friendship, the moment you start not learning about your relationship, the marriage, it falls apart. And I think the same thing with life. The moment you stop learning about life, your surrounding, about the world, about, you know, about yourself, this is what I told the friends who are suffering anxiety. That's when you stop thinking and stop encouraging yourself to be somebody else because you stop learning. You feel like there's nothing else for me here. What do you mean? There's so much to learn in this world. There's so much to look forward in this lifestyle. Yeah. So that's what I feel. So don't stop learning about life because there's so much. And whatever calling, find that calling that you have in you. And there's always, we were all blessed with this special talent that we have. All of us. There's no one that was not blessed with that. So find that. Find that calling. Find that and pray about it. Meditate, pray about it. All right, so that's all. Yeah, so, okay, so follow us on our social media, @thepolishedwoman, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, it's all The Polished Woman, so you can follow us, okay? So we have our question for today. instead of, we forgot our word for the day. So today we have question of the day. Who was the first woman to graduate university? How can they answer this, Max?
So you can answer it by going to our Instagram page at The Polish Woman. And under today's post with our guest, Sean, we're talking about education today. So we found it fitting that who was the first woman to graduate university? So Instagram us, to our DMs, tweet us and let us know and we'll give you a shout out.
Yeah, and maybe I will give you something, a prize.
A book, Date Like a Girl, Marry Like a Woman.
Yeah. All right. So last weekend, we talked about going back to school. Now we are now this is our part two, phase two of our going back to school. So the phrase back to school is taking a whole new meaning this year because for so many kids across the country, there's a big question mark. what are they going back to? I mean, or are they staying home? Will they be going back to schools or if so, will it be really safe or are they going back to learning online? You know, there are no easy or obvious answers to this question, and it's likely one that we're going to be asking until very last minute, which is, I think, next week. I think we all go back to school next week. And one that may need some areas and one that may need to keep asking throughout the upcoming school year. Trust me, every week or every month, we will be asking the head of the school, are we going back to school yet? Are we going back to school yet? Yeah. I remember last week, we learned from our guest, be the annoying parent. Call the school. You know, follow up, blah, blah, blah. You know, she's amazing, our guest. So today, our guest, I am joined by the amazing, amazing guest today. She's a former U.S. Department Education Program Specialist who spent years evaluating school districts, schools, and state departments of education throughout the country. She's also a mother with a high school age child of her own, and a homeschool for daughters. Oh my gosh, when I spoke to her last week, it amazed me. Yeah, duality. So Sean Hall. Hello, Sean. Wait, I think she's Sean A. Hall. Hello.
Welcome
to Polished Woman.
Thank you for having me.
Wow, this is so amazing that your life with your three kids, you have to listen to this. She has three wonderful, wonderful daughters. Yeah, tell us your story, because she has one that's homeschooled, one that went to private school, and one that went to a public school. It's like you did all of it. Yeah, why the choices? So tell us about your story.
All right. So I'm going to go back a little bit. I've got four amazing daughters, and they would kill me if I didn't get that right.
Sorry. Okay, sorry. Four.
No worries at all. It's a lot of kids, so no problem. I homeschooled all of my daughters. I started off with the oldest when she was in first grade, just because I wasn't getting what I thought she should have in a private school environment. And so from there, So here's the thing. I felt like being in a private school, I wanted to know that she was getting her ABCs and not just the basics, like learning how to count 1 through 10. That's fine. But I thought that it should be a little bit more robust. And let me say why. Because I have a master's in education, I know that children are like sponges. And so I believe that as much as they can take, you should give that to them. You should introduce that to them. And especially as Black and brown children, that's important. It's important that you don't fall into what we call in education, the tyranny of low expectations. When people don't expect much from you, they don't give you much. And so I didn't want that for my daughter. And as I saw that happening, I said, no, I can do this. And I got to tell you, I fought that for a number of years because the private school principal said, oh, what you want, you should just homeschool. And I thought, no, I want to pay you to do what I want you to do. But it didn't happen that way. And so I snatched her out. I started homeschooling her. And yes, that private school principal was correct, that I had everything that it took to start being accountable for my own daughter's education. And by the time the next one came up, that was just what we were doing. The third one came up, we were still homeschooling, and we went that way for a number of years. My oldest daughter, I graduated her from our homeschool academy. She went off to college. She graduated with maybe, I think, like a 3.8 GPA, and she's working in LA now. So I think we did okay.
What is everything that you take? I mean, what does it mean?
Say that again. I'm...
When you said you had everything, that you took when you homeschooled. So what is everything?
Perfect.
What was that?
I got it. I think that mothers often shortchange themselves. They say, I'm no teacher, but in fact, you are your child's first teacher. They learn everything from you, how to treat people, how to treat each other, how you get along in a family dynamic, the basis for relationships. You're teaching even when you think you aren't. And so I had it in my mind that I wasn't a math teacher, I wasn't a science teacher, and therefore I couldn't teach my own daughter. But in fact, I was teaching her all of those things. And so I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I was an Einstein. Not at all. We had a homeschool curriculum that I purchased. And that's what homeschool parents do. You kind of figure it out based on what your child needs. And that's the beauty of homeschooling. If you talk to five homeschool mothers, they all do things differently. Nobody's going to say, oh, yeah, me too. Oh, yeah, we do that too. You may pull a little of this and a little of that, but it was based always on the needs of my child. And so that's what I mean by having it within. It's not as scary as it seems. The scariest part is this, that it's all going to be on you, meaning that whether you succeed or you don't succeed as much as you want to, it falls on you. But I think that's how it is in life. As parents, it's up to us, right? And so my husband and I undertook that and said, hey, we can make a go of this. We can really shape the future of our, or the futures of our daughters the way that we want it to be. And it truly has been a blessing.
Did you co-teach with your husband or just you?
Me. It was me. He would say it was him, but I'll be honest. My husband did what he could do because everybody has a different teaching style. And so what I noticed is the things that I may have lacked, he said, okay, you know what? Let me try and let me explain it. And he would explain it better and different. Mm-hmm. He took the girls out. He did PE with them. So everything they know sports-wise, they got from dad. And we're not talking about just kind of hokey stuff. We're talking about, he would have my kids, oh my God, running around our house like 50 million laps. You know, you see these little legs and little arms pumping, but he was building in them endurance. And we went on long walks. He took them. They learned how to sprint from dad. They learned how to play basketball, soccer, tennis from dad. And so all of those things have been great just from a family perspective, because when you look at it, the family is where it starts. You know, so many times we get influences telling us to go outside the family and people are busy. They're busier than they've ever been before. Your kids are double booked, triple booked. They've got all of these events and you don't have time for family. Homeschooling allows you to not only educate your child, but educate them about what it means to be a family and to be in relationship with people.
Okay, so you think Sean, that the parents who are actually freaking out right now that they're gonna be homeschooling their kids. I actually know someone right now that she just started saying that, oh my gosh, I'm just like done with my kids being around. I started drinking just one glass of wine. Now I'm drinking like three glasses of wine starting at 5 o'clock. Like I need a vacation. Like, what do you, cause you have four and you do it all. And how did you find your, I want our women's, their breathing space, your own space, you know, the things that you need as a woman, as a, you know, as yourself, as a mother, you know, how did you set aside that me space teaching the four kids? I mean, what can you advise them?
Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. It's nice to have that little bottle of vino if that's what you feel like you need. Have your little refreshment because you deserve a break. You're not going to get everything done in one day, but I promise you, you're getting more accomplished than you give yourself credit for. And I know that these past few months, people have felt like, oh, I'm already homeschooling. okay, so I want to set the record straight. Homeschooling is when you come up with the curriculum. You have to come up with the lesson plan. When you are facilitating online instruction, the school district has already given you the lesson plan, and your job is just to make sure that your little Johnny or Susie does the work and that you help them. And what I really hear parents saying is that they weren't prepared for this. They weren't prepared to schedule out their day where you've got a portion of it spending time with the child and helping them, because I don't think parents are saying they don't want to help their child. What they're saying is, I didn't know I would have to do this. I didn't know what this would look like. And I don't know who I am when I'm a mom, when I'm an employee, when I'm a wife, when I'm everything else. How does this structure fit into your paradigm? And so this requires a paradigm shift. You absolutely can do it.
Yeah.
You just shift it, because to that mom who said, you know, she's on her third glass of wine and it's not even 5 o'clock. You kind of think of, you know, when is this going to be over?
Yeah.
Having a 23-year-old, I will say this, it went by just like that. It doesn't seem like it when you're in it. I know, because my youngest is 8 and I'm like, oh my God, I hit the restart button. But truthfully, you only have this time. So if you look at it as every day being a gift, because it truly is, right? It's a gift, and it's what That's you true. Do with that gift. And every day is not going to be great. Give yourself an allowance to know, I'm not having a great day. There were times where I would tell my kids, you know what? Mom is not feeling this. After we finish this, we're done. I'm done. Wow. I can't go any further. Yeah.
So those you had boundaries. Yeah. From your,
I did.
How do you set boundaries? Yeah, how do you set boundaries up from your children?
I'm glad you asked, because you sit them down and you treat them like they are humans. People put children in the children's box, which means they don't have a voice. They can't say, they don't get to do anything but what you say do. And I know a lot of us are old school and that kind of works, but it really doesn't, because they have to be invested in this kind of instructional delivery. It means I've got to look at you differently than just being my mom, and you're my teacher and I'm respecting you. And at the same time, you want to respect your student. You know, you kind of treat them like you would somebody else's kid. Would you be so quick to elevate your voice and yell at somebody else's kid? No, you have a different level of patience. So pretend for that hour or two that your child is not your child, you know?
Wow.
And it's okay to say, hey, when you feel like you have had it, just whatever your cue is. For my little one, I used to tell her, put her hands to my face and grab it and say, mommy, I'm done. And so when she would do that, mommy, I'm done. It's okay. Close the book and let's switch gears. We're going to go outside. We're going to have PE, or hey, we're going to go in here. We're going to whip up lunch. And we did it.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Another question that I think that will be interesting to all our viewers and listeners. How do you create your curriculum for home study?
Woo. Okay. So that's probably the most challenging part.
Yes. Right. I won't be able to, like, I don't know if I could do that, but of course.
You can do it.
You could. Yeah. tell us how. Like, I want to hear it.
Okay. So first you want to find out what kind of a teacher you are. You know, and that's
okay.
So you have to figure out, go back to when you were learning, right? When you were in high school, and did you turn on when the teacher wrote it on the board? Is that when you started to click and it worked for you? Or was it when the teacher started to speak? Or was it when they put something in your hands and now you had to manipulate it and you had to do it? Or was it when you got together collaboratively with your peers? How did that work for you? And how you learn best is often how you teach. For me, it's auditory. The teacher could write all day. I don't care. But when she started to speak, that's when my mind clicked. And so I was watching her and she was writing on the board and I was processing. That's important because a lot of times parents miss it. You're thinking, I'm teaching you. No, you're teaching how you learn, but that may not be how your kid learns. And so now this gives you a deeper insight to your kid to figure out how they learn. So for my kid, and I've had one on all of those ranges, one who was definitely tactile, we had to do a lot of manipulatives.
that wasn't me. It wasn't my thing. It used to freak me out. Like, stop playing with those things. That's what I always wanted to say.
Yeah.
But it worked for her. And that's the goal when you're homeschooling, or even when you're teaching in a traditional setting. It's not about how you teach so much. It's about how the kid learns. But once you know how to teach, now it informs how you're able to help your student learn better. So when I was looking at curriculums, I would look through and try to figure out what's going to keep me engaged in here, you know, because if I was falling off, I wasn't going to be much good for my kids. And then they would fall off too. And I was a hodgepodge, or what they would call eclectic teacher, meaning that I didn't stick with one curriculum. And you can. There's so many out there. You could go with Bob Jones, which is more of a Christian type. You could go with Apologia, which is Christian, but it's also more science-based. You could do unit studies, which means you are looking at math, science, English, all together in a lesson, if that's how your child learns best. Yeah. And so now you kind of feel it out, because homeschooling like 15 years ago, it was more challenging than it is now. Now you've got so many things out there. There's a wonderful resource called Kathy Duffy's Homeschooling Guide. And it's a book that you can get now. She's taking it online. You buy it, and you can kind of go through and do an assessment of your child. Is she, I think they had names like Wiggly Willis, like, did your child move around a lot? Because if that's your kid, some of these homeschool curricula, it won't work for them. You know, so that's kind of how I went through doing it. And I never stayed in one particular curriculum long, because the needs of my kids were evolving. And as they evolved, we evolved.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, okay, there's a Twitter question. What time should you start, you know, a school, and what time does, you know, are you supposed to end them?
Yeah. Okay. This is the answer nobody's going to like, but this is the beauty of homeschooling.
Yeah.
It's all about your family and what your family needs. So, you know, the beauty of homeschooling is that you don't have to model it behind traditional school. We don't have to get up at 8 and go until 3. Actually, if you're going from 8 to 3 and you've only got one kid, you're going to overload them, because it doesn't take all of that with one kid. It really doesn't. So my kids like to sleep in, and actually rest is good for the body. So we would start our homeschool around 9 o'clock. We go really hard in the paint until about 10:15, 10:45. Then we take a little break. We get back to it until about 12:30. And by 1 o'clock, 1:30, we were finished for the day.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know, I've learned this from, cause you know, my youngest daughter, she went to a private school, but it's sort of like a homeschool, you know, like there's only like 15 of them. And what I've learned from him is that, because they only go to school from 9 to 1:30. What I've learned from him is like the kids, they can only learn the learning period. There's so much is only about for 3 hours. That's it. If you do it more than 3 hours, they won't.
Yeah.
They're done. Their brains are done. They're like, you have to like, you know, give,
you have to give them a break.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. My producer is asking me, this is all great, but how if you cannot afford homeschooling? Is it expensive?
Okay. So I'm glad you asked, because people say, how do you afford
homeschooling? And what if you have to work?
Okay. So this gets into what I'm going to call lifestyle and tough decisions. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm going to say, because I've heard it my whole life. Well, my whole adult life when I was parenting. How can you afford to do it? And what I always thought was, how can I afford not to do it? Because with all of the influences that are going on in the school, the things that your kids learn that perhaps you're not ready for them to learn, you can't undo it. You can't unsee it once you've seen it, right? Mm-hmm. And so my husband and I early on had to make some decisions. And that meant we went down to a one income household. No, that wasn't easy. And I want people to get it out of their heads that people who homeschool are rich. They are not. We are not independently wealthy. We are not wealthy, period. What we did, we said, okay, this is the lifestyle that we want to have for our kids. So it may mean cutting back, like having one car, which was torture. Okay. Torture. But you had the one car, you know, we didn't have the vacations. We might've had staycations. We might've had a place where we could go for 1 hour getaway. The meals were definitely planned and prepped.
Yeah.
But I also felt like I was giving them something that I didn't have, which was me. Because as a mom, now I think moms can relate to this, and maybe dads too. you have a little bit of parent guilt, right? You're working so hard to give your kids a life and you're working so yes. we can go on vacation, we can do this and we can do that. And you look up and they are gone. And you ask yourself, what was it all for? Was it worth it? Because in the end, all we have are the memories that we've created with our children. And you ask yourself, as your child is walking across that stage and they're calling out their name, you're wondering, did I do enough? And you don't want to live your life with regrets. And so that's what I decided. I don't want to regret one thing. If I did this homeschooling thing and my kids hate it and they're sitting on somebody's couch 10 years from now talking about it, okay. But I know that I gave them the best, which was me. And I've been a present and available parent. I would not have been able to do that if I were working traditionally and sending them to school.
Wow. Sacrifice. That's what moms do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so amazing. Wait, hold on. Wait. Oh, okay. Okay, so just one, you know, because I know that noting that you have a high school age daughter, right?
Yes.
Have you started talking about college yet? I want to go through this because, you know, we have a lot, most of her friends are going to college. And I think yes. I ask you this. They said that this year there's no SATs or they're yep. not going to be doing it. Like, how do you do that? I mean, how will you learn? Like, how would you apply for, you know, for colleges and stuff? Because are you going through that right now?
I am. So let me pivot a little bit. Besides my yeah. homeschool world, now I am an educational consultant. And what
That's
I
right.
do
yes.
is I yeah. help people navigate college admissions, college selections, and yes, scholarships. And so what I would say with a daughter who is a senior, we've mm-hmm. been in this hunt for a while. I didn't wait until this year to start thinking about college or thinking about scholarships because it creeps up on you. And there are scholarships that are available for kids as young as first grade. You know, there really are. And so when you're talking about college and this year, them not counting the SAT or the ACT, and a lot of people are saying, hallelujah, and it's a great thing. It's not so great if you're trying to get an academic scholarship. And let me tell you why.
Yes.
Because they have to base it on something. These are called merit scholarships. Usually yes. with the merit scholarships, they're looking at your grades
yeah.
and they are looking at
That's
your
That's what ACT. I was worried about. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. They're looking about. At either of those. So still take the test. My daughter's registered to take the SAT on August 29th. I think you still want to have your kids take the test because...
You still want to do it. Okay.
Oh, we're still going to do it. Now, the okay. reason we're going to do it is because I need her to be eligible for some of these merit scholarships. And while she's okay. taken the test before, let me say that, don't wait until your senior year to be the first time you're taking the test. I want her score to get better because the better your test score is for the SAT or the ACT, the more money you're eligible for. And so that's the key. Parents say, my kid's a good student. Good is relative because your good might be a 3.0, but a 3.0 is not enough.
It's not good enough
yeah. to get a full ride somewhere.
Yeah,
it's just not. So this is what I want parents to know. Make sure you're still having your kids register to take the SAT and the okay. ACT, even though they're not requiring it for this year. Where that helps out some students are, honestly, those who are athletes. Because if you're an athlete, you definitely have to have NCAA eligibility. And part of that eligibility is having a requisite score on the SAT or the ACT. So many athletes, unfortunately, they may have great athletic prowess on the field or on the court, but they're not able to make the transition to college because they don't have that SAT or ACT prerequisite score.
Yeah, I'm good. Oh my God, good to know this because my daughter, she was offered already for three colleges.
Awesome.
So, oh my gosh, good to know that. Wait, I want to break this for a while. You're going to stay because okay. we have our doctor. This is the only time that she can, you know, she can talk to us. We have Dr. Neela on our show. She'll be here in 1 second. You know, I want to know because, you know, it's good to get... Not everybody's going to do homeschooling. So I want to know what's happening like right now, this week. Because every week it changes. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So that, all our listeners and viewers are just like, okay, what is happening next week? So I said, Dr. Neela, I have to talk to you just for a while. Right. Dr. Neela, hi. I'm so sorry.
Hi.
To from your busy schedule. I'm so sorry. Just a quick question. How do you recommend kids should start preparing for going back to school? Because I know we're going back to school in like, 2 weeks or 10 days, right?
Yeah, well, every school is a little different. Some are starting mid-August and some are starting late August. But yeah, I mean, either way, it's coming up for sure.
Yeah. So how do they prepare? I mean, what do you suggest that they should prepare for?
So, generally speaking, if they're going to be in class, which I don't know that a lot of people are, but some people kind of in the country are going back to school. So making sure that they're doing a good job with wearing a mask and getting used to a mask and finding a mask that's comfortable, because they will be required to wear a mask in the classroom. So for older kids, really doing your due diligence and finding a mask that's comfy and that covers your face and that's not moving around. For kids, it's parents taking the responsibility of finding a good mask and then training them. We call it mask training, where you really sit and teach your kids how to wear a mask for long periods of time so that they're not messing with it and touching it so that they're more protected. So that's the first thing. The second thing is just making sure that they have good hand hygiene. So are they in a position where they can wash their hands regularly, because we know the virus lives
in hands
and in fingernails. And the more that the kids get to a place where they can wash their hands with soap and water or be using sanitizer fairly regularly, that's really going to help the spread. So that's sort of the stuff they can do at school. Now, in terms of internally, there's a couple things that we know. We know high dose vitamin C works. So doing vitamin C on top of your multivitamin, and then we know that vitamin D helps. So doing vitamin D on top of your multivitamin, those two things kind of help combat the virus from within. And then your hand hygiene and your mask wearing help combat the virus from outside. So that's kind of what I tell parents on the daily, to just help protect themselves.
Okay, so more vitamin C, like how many milligrams of vitamin C for the teenagers?
I've been recommending 2,000. The normal is 1,000, and you can go up to 2,000. So 2,000 is right. So 4 of the 500s or 2 of the 1,000s are considered totally safe and normal and healthy.
Okay, and then vitamin D. Sean, do you have any question for Dr. Neela? I believe you have one question, right?
Yeah, I did want to ask her. I know that so many parents now are into essential oils, and some of them swear by that. So what do you think about parents having their children use essential oils to prepare for going back to school?
You know, essential oils are one of those things that's very tricky. And so essential oils, if used correctly, can be beneficial, but a lot of times parents aren't using them correctly. There's things like cinnamon and lavender that are very dangerous if they're aerosolized. So I always tell patients, take essential oils with a grain of salt. The less that you can put them directly on your body or ingest them, the better. In terms of COVID spread, we haven't really seen a whole lot of data that essential oils are preventing COVID from spreading in the air. In fact, less humidity is better for the virus. So what we're really looking at more is sort of keeping the environment clean with like a HEPA filter or having moving air. And a lot of times when people, they aerosolize their essential oils, they'll close the door because they want the smell. And so then you get stagnant air. And so what you really want to be doing with COVID is moving the virus through. You want it to hit the air and then move past you as quickly and as fast as possible. So a lot more HEPA filters, filter systems in the air, making sure that your filters on your home AC are clean, and then open doors and windows. And what I've been saying is we're really lucky that this virus responds very well to soap and water and that it doesn't live in the air. And those are the things that we have to focus on that are positive with this virus. You can beat it by really doing a good job outside and washing your hands.
Wait, Dr. Neela, what do you mean it doesn't live in the air? I thought it was some sort of like an airborne or something. So it's not.
It is airborne. We don't know. Let me back up. We don't know.
Okay.
Studies to suggest that it's surface, some to suggest it's respiratory droplets, and some data suggesting that it's airborne. And the bottom line is, listen, we don't know. This is a novel virus. We've never seen anything like it, so we're not sure. Do we know that it can live in air particles? Yes. But what it doesn't do is last for long periods of time with wind, which is why being outside helps. So it's just like if you were to sneeze in a room, you're much more likely to have those particles have contact with your body or with your nose, versus if you sneeze outside and the wind's blowing, it's going to go right past you. It's why outdoors you don't tend to get sick, but indoors, like daycares, tend to spread the virus very rapidly. So it's more, the essential oils are more about making sure that the air is moving. Are you feeling a breeze, whether it's from the air that's running through your filters or a HEPA filter or open doors? That just seems to do better in terms of spread for the virus.
Okay. Dr. did you have a lot of new cases this week, or do you think it's improving, just so you know our listeners know?
I wish I could say it was improving. I haven't seen that things are improving. I do believe that mask wearing is improving. And so I will comment that I'm seeing the public take mask wearing a little bit more seriously.
Yes.
Remember, there's a lag effect, right? So we're talking, what the cases are popping up now are from 2 weeks ago. So what doctors are hoping is that whatever you're doing right now, we're going to see the benefits in 2 weeks. So don't get frustrated if you feel like, well, I've been wearing a mask this whole weekend. I wore a mask and the numbers aren't falling. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
An incubation period and then of time to infect within the body itself. So it's much more about just really practicing social distancing and wearing a mask. And then we'll hope that to see the numbers kind of fall in the next couple of weeks. That's really what we're hoping.
That's what we're hoping. Dr. Yeah, last question. So there will be, so we're talking about homeschooling, right? This is what Sean Hull is, you know, this is her expertise.
Oh, wonderful.
Now that a lot of like women or moms are homeschooling and there are interacting a lot, I've heard of some parents, you know, they will have some, you know, a group of four or five kids that they want to homeschool. What do you suggest, you know, how should, you know, the children interact and what do you suggest about that? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a new concept called a pod. So it's basically like having a quarantine pod where you have four or five kids together.
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually do love the idea of a pod. And the reason being is that it's actually easier to find four or five families that are on the same page as you versus a whole class, right? So if you guys can commit and say, hey, we're going to limit our exposure to other people and we're going to spend our time just together and we're going to kind of protect this pod to last as long as possible by decreasing our exposure to other people, it can work. Now, that being said, mask wearing and social distancing, make sure that the desks are still 6 feet apart, making sure that your pods are actually happening outside. Those are the things that are going to actually improve the longevity of your pod. What happens is people say, oh, there's only four or five kids. So great, let's stick them in the family room. And that's not going to work because if one of those kids gets sick, all of them do. So pods work because you're decreasing your total exposure to the number of people that are in your pod. And that's just a probability thing. If you have less exposure to less people, you're less likely to get the virus.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you go to zero. What that means is you probably go from 80% to 20%. But if you if you add masks and social distancing, you're going to go to even less than that.
Okay. That's a good one. Can you just define, they're saying that they can just define what pod is and how it was created. Yeah. How to create it.
So what a pod is, it's a fairly new term and it's the idea of creating a small group of like-minded families who want to homeschool their kids together so that the kids are still getting the social interaction of school, but they're getting to be with their friends, obviously, which is the benefit, but the parents are splitting the cost of not only the homeschool, but you know, all the other costs of everything. And you just kind of feel like you're in it together. It's kind of like creating your small little village.
Okay, that's good to know. Oh my gosh, we got it. Thank you so much, Dr. Neela.
Jessica,
yes.
Can I ask Dr. Neela a quick question?
Yes, of course.
For those of us who have to send our kids back to school, for example, here in North Carolina, there are quite a few private schools that are going to do face-to-face instruction. And they're saying that the kids have to wear a mask coming into school, leaving school, but when they're in the classroom, they can take them off. I want to know your thoughts about that.
I don't like that. Again, I mean, let me back up by saying I'm opinionated. So that's just how I am. And so I've always been that way and that's just how I operate. So I don't like that idea. The bottom line is if you have a bunch of kids in a room, you have one kid that coughs, and I'm sure you've seen those videos like on, you know, social media where those respiratory droplets are going to fly. So unless you're outside,
those particles are going to land on another kid. And guess what? The second you touch your face or touch your lashes or touch your nose, you have the chance of getting a dip. So yeah, because we can't enforce mask policies with younger kids. So the better solution is, yes, have them wear a mask all the time, except for when they're outside. Now, if they're outside playing with their friends, sure, you don't really need a mask because obviously we don't want them wrestling, but if they're just playing outside without a mask, generally speaking, that is considered safe. Now, is it zero? No, but it decreases your chances. In a room with multiple kids without a mask is not a good scenario. I'm telling you, it's not.
Wow. Okay. That's good, Sean.
Ooh, that's excellent. Thank you.
Dr. Diaz, thank you so much. Where can they find you if they want to ask questions from you?
Yes. Find me at Dr. Neela on Instagram, and it's at DocTorNeela. And that's my Instagram. And you can always DM me on there with questions. You can send me ideas for things that you want to see or a video that you'd like to hear. And good luck. Just wash your hands and wear a mask, okay?
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I know you're busy. Love you. Thank you so much.
Love you too. And I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. My gosh, Sean, isn't it amazing? I am so glad we got her.
That was great.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So, speaking of that whole, you were talking about the SAT, ACT. So, yeah. So my daughter, because she was already offered three schools because she's an athlete. And we were like, so what? You mean you don't have to do ACT, SAT? So I'm so glad that you told us and mentioned this, that no, you still have to do it. You still, you're going to have to make sure that.
You don't have to do it. What I would say is that your kids have been working hard for 12 years, right? That's been their primary job. You're working hard. Cash in on your investment. Yeah. Still take the SAT and the ACT because they're going to be those scholarships, those merit-based scholarships that are going to want to know your test scores. And if you have those test scores, you're going to be eligible for what I call portable money. It's the money that goes wherever you go, because institutional money is only good if you're there. Like, let's say your daughter was offered at Princeton. That's great. She's got a full ride to Princeton and they're paying for everything. But let's say she doesn't like Princeton after her freshman year. Now, if that's all that she did was get that institutional scholarship, any other monies that she was eligible for, she's not going to get it because she didn't do her test scores. And so that's the reason that you want to make sure you take the ACT, the SAT, so that if there's merit money out there that you're eligible for, you don't forfeit it. If you are need-based, meaning your parents are below a certain income level, there's scholarships for you out there too. And it's usually just based off of need. Make sure you can stack the deck for your kids and get as much money as possible. Don't leave anything on the table. That's my thing.
This is a good question. What advice would you offer parents of children in different grades in terms of balancing things like school time for all their children, especially those who may have, low income and only have one computer or other limited resources, in homeschooling? What advice can you offer?
Yeah. Perfect. So I feel like I'm a little bit of an expert there because I've got a 16-year-old, 15-year-old, and an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Now, the beauty there has been that the school district has provided them all with computers. I know that doesn't happen in every school district. But if you're in a home where you've only got the one computer, the way you kind of work that out is you're going to let this person who needs it, not right this second. So here, I'm parenting, right on the air.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
So look, I'm doing this like that. But what I would say is start with the younger child and let them use the computer first. Why? Because they probably don't have the same volume of homework or schoolwork as the older child. If I were to have my senior start first, she probably has 3 to 4 solid hours of homework or classwork. And now the younger child is going to be antsy. They're not going to be in a good place by the time they can finally use it. And they may not get the quality of work produced that you know they can normally do. So start with the younger child first. Let them use the computer and then work your way up with the older child. And what I would say is
for the older child or the older children, don't wait and let the work accumulate where you've got to sit there for 5 hours on the computer and nobody else can use it. No. Start off with your hardest class so that you get that done when you are emotionally and mentally present. You know what I'm saying? Because if you try to do chemistry, if you will, at 10 o'clock at night, it may not happen just out of sheer exhaustion and frustration. That same class looks different at 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, so that's the way that I would kind of balance it. And I would say check with your public library, because a lot of these public libraries, they have hotspots that they will allow students to check out. So that's really important, because now you've got that Wi-Fi with you. I would say check with an unlikely source, Goodwill. Goodwill, people are always giving away equipment. Yeah, so now you may be able to go in and get a cheap computer. Don't forget about Craigslist. Don't forget about Facebook, and just say, hey, I'm in need of a computer for my daughter. My budget is $150. If anyone can help me, please DM me. You would be surprised at the kindness of strangers, especially during COVID.
Wow. Wow. This is amazing. Wait, can I just let our listeners and viewers know that your daughter that you homeschooled, she went to a very good college. Can you share that with us?
Yes. So she went to UNC School of the Arts in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Yeah. She was a film production major, and I was excited about that because it's one of the top 25 film schools in the country. And so that was really a great honor for her to be accepted, for her to not be so far away from home, and to know that she was not less than. A lot of times, parents who homeschool children, the children feel like they're going to be less than, because you get all of these crazy stereotypes about homeschoolers. Like they wear high waters, they're not socially adjusted, and that's just not true.
Oh, I lost you. Hello?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
All right. So, okay, we're 1 minute. Can you please tell everyone where they can find you, and please tell them about your business?
All right. It's allroadseducation.com. All roads like you're driving on them, education.com. Also, you can find me at the same Facebook name at All Roads Education, and it's Sean A. Hall. I'm an independent education consultant. Hey, right now I've got a special going for people who are watching your show. If you want a 30-minute consult, I've got it available for you for $19. I never do that, but I wanted to put that out there for your family members who are watching.
Thank you.
And when I call them your family members, your viewers, because I know this is a tough time for us all. So if you're homeschooling or if you're thinking about it, this is a quick way to get a consult, to ask all of your questions, because I know we can't cover it all here. Definitely go to my website, see what I do, and whatever you do, start planning for college now.
Okay. My God, thank you so much for, thank you for the discount. Oh my gosh, you have to grab this right now.
Grab it. Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much. Congratulations. Okay, I just want congratulations to Ciara and Russell Wilson on their new son, Wynn Wilson. Oh my God, congratulations. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sean. This is so helpful. Oh my gosh, I've learned so much from you. Thank you so much. So no matter who you are, if you're a parent with school-aged children, this year is going to be different. Let's all try to make it less difficult for each other by looking for ways to support each other and build each other up. Again, by giving love and real love. So go to our Wake Up and Pray. I talked about love and pray about love. So and follow me on The Polished Woman. Thank you so much, Sean. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after listening and watching to our program, The Polished Woman. Thank you. Bye. I'm your host, Jessica Buramach. Thank you. Thank you.
Through the